Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to the first May 2015 episode of Dr. Number 14's Best SF. I am Dr. Number 14, and we are at the May 3rd, 2015 edition. Woohoo! And so, basically, we're going to be reviewing Once Upon a Time, Gotham, The Following, Bates Motel, The Returned, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Flash, iZombie, Arrow, Supernatural, Vampire Diaries, Grimm, Bitten, and Orphan Black. We got a full lineup of 14 shows. So without it to do in a 45-minute period. So without further ado, let's deal with Once Upon a Time, episode 420, Lily. And there's only three more episodes to go after this one. So and this was packed with a lot of action, 1.7. It matched the previous week's rating with 5.21 million viewers. So Emma is able to trace Lilith or Lily, and she finds her working at a restaurant, and Emma nearly runs over a wolf on her way to get there, and her car needs a new tire, and the girl that's serving her coffee, she has the same star tattoo that Lily had when Emma first met her. Interestingly, when she first came to Storybrooke, she nearly ran over a wolf too, and then she stayed in town as her car needed to get fixed. So it seems like it's more than coincidence that this wolf appears, and I thought it was Red at first from Storybrooke, but maybe not. Maybe it's fate. And so basically, Emma confronts Lily. They reveal each other's identities. But Lily has moved on now. She says she's married and has a daughter and pretends these things so Emma can see she has a normal life. But then Emma gets Lily's address and wants to get her back to her mom. And they find Lily's place, both her and Regina. And they track Emma down. And it looks like she has a map. And she's following all of Emma's exploits in Storybrooke. And she steals Emma's car at one point, and they follow. And Emma is able to stop her car, and they fight. And then Emma draws a gun on her. And Lily says if she's let go, she's going to destroy everything. And Regina, interestingly, says, tells her to put the gun down. And so Emma does put the gun down. And Emma wants Lily to go with them back to Storybrooke, but also to retrieve Robin Hood. And so there's that storyline that's sort of finished for the moment. And then Will is able to steal Belle's heart from Regina's mayoral office. And basically Will shows Belle her heart, then Gold comes in. And he returns her heart to her, but wants Will to protect her because he feels he's unworthy. And he leaves, and Belle looks longingly after him. So it looks like both Belle and Gold still love each other. And then at the end, the third storyline, Regina greets Robin Hood, and she tells him Marion is the Wicked Witch and that Marion, the real Marion, is dead. And then Marion returns and reveals herself as Zelina. And Regina is saying for Robin to go, please go. But he tells her he can't because Zelina is pregnant with his child. Oh, my God. Wow. Does this move or what? Okay, so that was Once Upon a Time. So now we come to Gotham and The Following. And Gotham's already been renewed. The Following hasn't. It probably will be canceled. And we also have Bates Motel then, which will probably be picked up. It's pretty stable in the ratings. And the returns, we don't know, because Damien now, a sequel to the Omen movies, basically is going to be coming to A&E, and I'm wondering if that's going to be paired up with the Bates Motel, because the returns has dropped now to receive its lowest rating of all time, 0.29. So we're just going to have to see how this unfolds. But Gotham, episode 121, The Anvil or the Hammer, and it dropped in the ratings from a 1.6 to a 1.5 with 4.58 million viewers. And so Jason the Ogre basically keeps Barbara there, and he ties her up at one point, and then he frees Barbara, and she slaps him, and he slaps her back when she mentions Jim Gordon's name. And he shows her all the ones he killed, but he feels she's the right one, and so she collapses. While this is going on, Nygma has cut up the body of Miss Kringle's boyfriend, Tom, and is going to pour acid all over his parts. And meanwhile, Bruce confronts Bunderslaw in his office, but he's relocated the safe, and he admits that Wayne Enterprises is committing the crimes. And Bruce meets up then with Lucius Fox, the science advisor who escorts him back, and Lucius says he knows he knew Bruce's father, and he was a true stoic. Meanwhile, Jason wants Barbara to tell him who to kill next. And then Jim interrogates Sally at the Fox Club. And as she took him back to his apartment 9 years ago, he heard her, but he let her go. And she says the elevator opened into the apartment across from the Royal Hotel. So now they figure out basically where the ogre is. So Jason's apartment is empty, but Jim smells her perfume, and Jason calls him and tells him that Barbara doesn't need her protection anymore. And he takes her to Barbara's parents, and he's going to kill them. And then Jim goes over there and sees both of them dead, and Barbara is there. And then Jason attacks Jim. He's ready to slit Barbara's throat, but Jim shoots Jason dead. And Barbara is all confused at the end. Enigma writes a letter to Miss Kringle saying that Tom has left town. And so it looks like, meanwhile, Maroni and Falcone are all engineered to fight each other from Oswald Cobblepot. So things are reaching ahead on Gotham. So I'm liking the show. Now, the following, episode 310, Evermore, it matched its rating of 1.2. Not doing very well. Sleepy Hollow never reached this low before with 3.46 million. I believe it reached a 1.4, the lowest. Well, Joe Caro is to be executed at midnight, and they do a practice run on Joe's execution, and Joe gets the guard, gets freed, fries one of the guard's eyeballs out, and videos himself, but he has three hostages. And he's going to kill them unless Ryan comes to him. So Ryan goes in alone with Mike and Max on the outside. Joe releases one of the hostages in exchange for Ryan cuffing his hand. And he goes in his taser and has Ryan drug up. And Joe wants to do an intervention on Ryan. And Joe is ready to tear out the female hostage's eyes. And then Ryan admits he and Joe were friends in his dreams, and Joe was teaching him to kill. And so he's freed from the wire noose, and Ryan admits he liked killing, and he's released from his cuffs. And then Ryan punches Joe in the gut, and then he cuffs Joe. And then Ryan takes him out, but then the other prisoners attack Ryan, and one hostage gets stabbed, and the girl is taken by two prisoners, and Ryan is killed, kills both of the prisoners to save the female. And then Joe is taken by the other prisoner, who starts choking Joe, and Ryan comes, and together they subdue the prisoner. And then Joe is taken by the guards. Now, in, I think, a penultimate move for the series, Ryan calls Gwen, tells her he needs to see Joe's execution. Joe is taken to the execution room. Ryan watches as the poison goes in Joe, and he dies at exactly 12:11 a.m. And then Ryan goes to the bar and he starts drinking, and he hallucinates Joe drinking with him. So I sort of like how this series is going, because if they do focus on Ryan going to the dark side, that would be pretty cool. I just wish they had done that at the beginning of the season, not now, but or maybe if they moved up Joe's execution to the beginning of the season instead of focusing on Mark and Theo Noble. And that was just fluff, I thought, for the main thing with Joe Carroll and Ryan getting to his dark side. Okay, so this now brings us to the Bates Motel, episode 308, The Pit. And as I said, it stabilized in the ratings, received a 0.7 rating with 1.755 million viewers. And Bob Paris approved the digging of a new pool by the hotel, but the hole is huge, is incredibly huge. Meanwhile, James Finnegan, the psychology instructor, is taken by Bob. His question about the flash drive, his foot is nailed at one point, and James is thrown on the lawn of his house, and he's in pain and crawls inside. And at one point, he's just leaving town and tells Norma he had the shit kicked out of him, and he's leaving town and peels off. Meanwhile, Alex Romero gets Norma's car back and will exchange the red car for it. Norma kisses him on the cheeks, not the lips, even though Alex really likes her. And then Bob shares with Romero what the psychologist told him of Norman killing his father. And Bob says Norma is just using him. Meanwhile, Dylan and Caleb go on that gun run to earn $25,000. And Dylan calls Emma and tells her he's going to be on the road for a few days. And then Emma breaks up with Norman. He doesn't take it well. He goes to his room and sits in his chair for hours. And he even thinks this stuffed dog has come back to life. Meanwhile, Alex asks Norman how her husband died, and she says it was an accident. And so he says goodbye and leaves. And then Norman shares info with his mother that James thinks he's sexually attracted to her, and he believes it. But Norman says it's okay, and that's all stupid. And she says she loves Norman, and they hold each other. And then the man instructs Dylan and Caleb to go to a group of barns, and they back the truck in. The deal goes bad. Dylan and Caleb have to shoot their way out. And what else is going on? Norma tells Norman that she told James about his killing his father, and she screams at him, and he envisions his mother as a slut. And so the dog, his dog Juno, his stuffed dog, takes off, and Norma chases after him, and he sees a car on the side of the road, and he sees his past love, who left him, get out of the car. So this is all weird. Is it in his head? Don't know. So this brings us now to The Returned, episode 108, Claire. And it received its lowest rating of 0.29 with 827,000 viewers. So 5 years ago, Claire was having a relationship with Peter by the lake. And then Claire goes back home and rejoins her family. And this was before even Camille died. And then in the present day, Lena comes home and hugs Camille, and Simon's body is taken away by the police. And then Nikki sees Julie and shows Julie the photos of Victor, a.k.a. Henry, who was killed 30 years ago. And then 4 years ago, Henry appeared to another woman, and she left him on the side of the road. And 3 days later, she and the students, the woman that basically took, talked to Victor, died in a bus crash when Henry caused them to swerve. And Julie tells Nikki to go, and Julie knows Henry is awake and says she's always going to be with him. Meanwhile, Lena tells parents a lie that Tony actually tied her up, and so Jack is outraged instead of Adam, her brother. Jack is outraged, goes to Tony's cabin, punches him repeatedly, and then Peter gets there and knocks Jack down and won't let Jack kill Tony. Meanwhile, Lena's scar is healing and nearly gone, so she thinks she's accepted Camille now, and that's the reason. Tony admits he's the killer to the police, not his brother, and Nikki tells Julie to come down to the station to ID her. And Claire sees how cruel Peter is to Jack and telling Camille to lie about the other kids. And Claire tells Peter to go, and Camille feels awful. Meanwhile, Adam goes to the police station. And Henry sees Tony, and because Henry thinks Tony did that, Selena creates the image of his mom, who tells him he knows what he has to do to make it right. So Tony pounds his head into the table, seizes an officer's gun, and shoots himself. And then Adam takes off, the brother. And then Simon, at the end, bangs his way out of his morgue slab, and he comes back to life. So the dead can't be killed at this point, which is very interesting. So we're going to see how the last two episodes pan out to see if they follow the French series, The Return. Okay, this brings us to the Tuesday night lineup of The Flash, iZombie, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And The Flash was really cool. Episode 120, The Trap, where it did pick up in the ratings. The Flash went from a 1.3 to a 1.5. Actually, it did as good as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that very night, which is really fantastic for The Flash to be doing so cool with 3.93 million viewers. Okay, so Eddie wants to propose to Iris, but Joe doesn't give him his blessing. And basically, Joe wants Iris to marry Barry, not Eddie. And so at one point, Joe recalls when Barry had a seizure in the hospital and Harrison wanted to take him to Star Labs to help him. And so Harrison says, let me save him. And so Barry has a really bad idea, and they need to access Cisco's memory in order to get Wells to confess he killed Nora. So what happens is Caitlin develops these glasses, which will allow Cisco to enter the lucid dream. So Cisco puts on the glasses. He's in the particle accelerator cortex, and he's running tests on the containment system. And there's no reason why the Reverse Flash escaped. And he reasons it was a fake, a hologram. And Wells then comes in and says he's Eobarthon and was trying to kill Barry but killed Nora instead. And his hand starts vibrating, and then Cisco awakens. And so Cisco now creates a force field to prevent Wells from getting to him, and Caitlin is going to record the confession. So Cisco is in the bunker waiting for Wells. He walks in. Joe and Barry are in the wings, and Cisco activates the field, but Wells walks right through it. And Joe shoots him before he could confess. But this Wells, who dies, is actually the shapeshifter, Hannibal Bates. And basically, Eddie strolls in with Iris, and Eddie is going to propose, but Reverse Flash is there and takes Eddie and introduces himself as Thawne and says they're family. And at one point, Iris suspects Barry, too. So a lot of stuff is happening on The Flash, just a lot of stuff. So we go to iZombie Maternity Live, and it actually went up in the ratings. It's been going up in the ratings consistently from a 0.5 to a 0.6 and now a 0.7 with 1.69 million viewers. So this pregnant woman dies, but the baby is saved. The pregnant woman is Emily Sparrow, and she was missing for 8 months, and they think Dylan, her boyfriend, who made her pregnant, killed her. So Liv eats her brain, starts becoming all maternal, and she sees the baby in the hospital, and she has a vision of the parents locking her up to keep her away from Dylan. And now Dylan might be getting custody of the kid. So Liv visits at one point her mom, Eva, and Evan, her brother, and the brother is planning to apply at Blaine's Meat Cute Company. Uh-oh. And then Clive and Liv are discovered by Emily's parents because they're looking in their basement. And they interview the parents, and the parents say Dylan was a bad influence on Emily. And then what happens is Mark Shepard owns this home. They think he's involved in Emily's abduction, and he's married to an animal control agent, Margot. And so they do a stakeout, and someone starts shooting at their car, and Clive calls for backup, and they start storming the place. The lieutenant gets shot, but he goes all zombie mad. The lieutenant, their boss, Clive's boss, is actually a zombie and shoots Mark dead as well as the wife. And then Liv finds the treehouse close to the property and breaks in, and cats are there and girls are hiding under one of them. So apparently Mark and Margo were in a cult. They were the cult leaders. The girls were the sister wives, including Emily. And so basically she got away from the cult. And Liv sees the baby one more time, and Dylan now gives it to Emily's parents, and she's happy about it. And so then, remember, Ravi is trying to cure Liv of her condition, and he's created a zombie rat that kills the others at the end of the episode. Wow. Okay, so this now brings us to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., episode 219, The Dirty Half Dozen. And as I said, it dropped in the rating from a 1.6 to a 1.5 rating, the Flash's rating, with 4.59 million viewers. So what happens is Coulson wants to work with Gonzalez to retrieve Mike Peterson, Deathlock, as well as Lincoln, that are taken by Hydra and the Hydra doctor. So they, at one point, they remove Mike's eye and stuff like that. So Coulson wants a small extraction team to go in, and the Hydra base is located in the Arctic. And the S.H.I.E.L.D. higher-ups agreed to this. So Fitz, Simmons, May, Coulson, Ward, and even Sky joined the group. And so the S.H.I.E.L.D. jet arrives. It's invisible. Hydra guns, though, lock on and explode the bus. But the smaller ship is caught up in the debris but successfully lands. And they break into the base, and Gonzalez's jets are going to arrive in 15 minutes. So Sky uses their powers on the guards. The team finds Mike. Sky goes in blazing to find Lincoln on the table in the surgery. She resuscitates him with her powers. She saves him. And Simmons is ready to blow up Ward with the bomb, but Ward holds her at gunpoint and says he's really disappointed in her. So they get the prisoners. They escape. The S.H.I.E.L.D. jets destroy the base, but Dr. Litz escapes as well as Ward. And he tells Coulson he wants to leave Kira, Agent 33, with them, because he believes she's still a good agent. So Gonzalez is going to hold Sky there for the moment, and then Coulson opens the cube for Gonzalez. And it looks like Coulson is tracking Loki's scepter. And Rena has a vision of it, and Coulson says it's time to bring in the Avengers. So a little bit of a tie-in with Age of Ultron, but still didn't do well, that well in the ratings. So this brings us now to Arrow and Supernatural, the Wednesday night lineup. So Arrow, episode 321, Al-Saheen. And it dropped a little bit in the ratings from a 1.0 to a 0.9 with 2.39 million viewers. So let's play our theme song. Okay, so it's been 3 weeks, and Oliver is progressing towards becoming Al-Saheen. In fact, he fights in a duel with Dig, and he stabs Dig, but was given a herb to see his friend. He actually didn't kill Dig. And then Roz discloses to him that his adversary Damien is his enemy. He wants to be heir to the demon, so Oliver needs to eliminate him, and he's going to be the big heavy in season four. So I'm not sure if this Ross storyline is going to continue or not. Then Laurel apologizes to Nyssa because she was keeping Oliver's acceptance to be Ross from her. And Oliver is going after Nyssa with the League of Assassins. And Laurel puts a tracking device on Nyssa so that they're able to follow her. So Al-Sahim confronts Nyssa to bring her back to Nanda Parbat. And he downs her canary and Dig interfere and he takes off. And then Felicity believes Oliver gave up his soul to Ross. So Thea needs Malcolm's help, and Malcolm says Oliver is back in town, and Malcolm asks what she needs from him, which we never find out in this episode. So Al-Sahim then, wow, he's lost his soul for sure, kidnaps Lila to get Nyssa back, and Nyssa agrees she has to trade her life with Lila. The exchange occurs, Lila is freed, Nyssa is bound, and Lila starts shooting. She takes weapons from Felicity, but the League of Assassins get Nyssa, and Oliver is ready to kill Dig. And Thea arrows his hand and tells Oliver to get away from him. And then when they bring back Nyssa, Ross tells him to kill her, and he's ready to kill Nyssa. And then Ross stops them and instead wants Nyssa to marry Oliver. And then he wants Oliver to unleash the Elf Omega virus on Starling City, as his predecessor did ages ago. Wow. And that's why they have the whole Alpha Omega virus being released in the Hong Kong flashback. And then Maceo retrieves Akio, but it looks like he has the virus too because he's bleeding from the mouth. So, wow. Dynamite episode there. So now this brings us to Supernatural, episode 1020, Angel Heart. And it matched its rating from the previous week, 0.7, with 1.74 million viewers. So let's play our Supernatural end theme and then review it. Jimmy Novak's daughter, Claire, remember Cass inhabited Jimmy Novak's body for a while. So Claire is trying to track down her mom, Amelia, and it looks like she has been taken by a Grigori. And what a Grigori is, one of the Watcher angels that feed off of humans. So Cass, Sam, and Dean meet up at the hospital. They check in on Claire, and they decide to find Amelia, but Claire's already taken off. And so basically this faith healer, Peter, is the one that Peter Halloway is the one that has taken her, a.k.a. Tamil, who is a watcher angel. So they go to the farmhouse that Peter owns, and Dean babysits Claire while Sam and Cass investigate, so they play miniature golf. And then Sam and Cass are at the farmhouse, and Cass finds Amelia. And she hits him, but he hugs her, and Sam is knocked out by Peter. But Dean and Claire go after them, and Amelia talks to Cass, and he says that Jimmy is in heaven and that Claire is alive. And she was trying to find Jimmy to make everything right, and that's why she contacted this faith healer who basically abducted her. And Sam awakens, and he sees Peter Halloway, who introduces himself as Tamiyo Grigori, who feeds on humans. So Dean gives Claire a gun and tells her to aim for the chest. It will slow Tamiyo down. And then Dean meets up with Cass. Claire and Amelia hug, and Dean frees Sam. And Tamiyo finds Claire, and she shoots him without effect. And then Amelia gets in the way of his blade. Amelia gets in the way of her blade, and she dies. But Claire is able to kill Tamiyo with the angel blade. So it's sad, but at the end, Sam and Dean bring Claire a taxi to take her to Joni Mills, their officer friend. And Claire hugs Cass at the end. Aww. So now this brings us to Vampire Diaries, episode 620, I'd Leave My Happy Home for You. Reached an all-time series low. Oh, my God. Actually, iZombie is beating out Vampire Diaries, a 0.5 with 1.21 million viewers. Wow. And it is getting better, but I think it's just people are getting tired of the Vampire Diaries. So let's play our intro. So while Rick is having his bachelor party and Joe her bachelorette party, Damon is atop the clock tower and Elena joins him. And Elena asks Damon if he's ready to give vampirism up. And so they jump off the tower and basically Enzo tells Stefan that Damon has a cure and he's considered taking it. Of course, Stefan doesn't believe him. Meanwhile, Lily wants to get back at Bonnie for destroying the Ascendant. So Bonnie uses her powers on Lily, but Lily injures Bonnie in the neck, and she's ready to attack Joe, but Joe says she's pregnant. And Lily senses they're twins, and so she leaves him. And then Damon brings back Elena's old house and says he's had so much fantasy, but he would give it all up for her because he's so madly in love with her, and he's ready for a new reality. So Elena drinks the cure, and she faints, but then she recovers and recalls her first date, and she gets all her memories back with Damon, and it undid the compulsion, and she pricks herself and doesn't heal, so Elena kisses Damon now because she's finally human, but Stefan warns Damon not to take the cure. They need to get Lily, and then Lily breaks Damon's neck and then wants to feed on Elena, but she hurts Lily's eye, and she runs away, and Lily goes after her. But Stefan finds Lily, and she's ready to stake herself, and Stefan admits he still cares about her. So she lunges after Stefan, and Damon hypos her, and they lock her up in the vault in the cellars of their house. Meanwhile, Damon gives some of his blood to save Bonnie, and Elena doesn't want Damon to take the cure, not yet. And Joe tells Rick she has twins and they're going to disappear after the wedding. Meanwhile, Kai is feeding the vampire family in the prison world, and he needs to get out of the prison. So everything is reaching ahead on this show. So now this brings us to the Friday night lineup of Grimm and Bitten. Grimm, 420, You Don't Know Jack. And it's a to-be-continued episode, but a lot happens in this one. It reached an all-time series low, too, of 0.9. It dropped from 1.0 last week with 4.22 million viewers. So let's play our Grimm theme song, and then let's review it, shan't we? If we can find the theme song for Grimm, here we go. So, Nick, Hank, Wu, they're all able to save some of the weapons that survived Aunt Marie's trailer torching by Juliet, as well as some books, and they store them in the basement of the spice shop. Meanwhile, Juliet contacts Nick's mom, Kelly, telling her to come home that Nick is in danger. So while this is going on, they also referred to at one point getting trouble back, so looks like both Kelly and Trouble will be coming back at least for the season finale, if not the penultimate episode, because there's only two more episodes left. Meanwhile, Jack the Ripper was a Wesson, or maybe a Wesson, from ages back for 300 years, slits this hooker's throat, takes out her uterus, and does this with not only Kelly the hooker, but Heidi the hooker too. And then when Sean basically goes over to Henrietta's, who can't help him, then Jack slashes Henrietta's throat too. And he speaks English as well, British. So it sounds like it's Jack the Ripper, but it may not be a Wesson, but more a Grimm. I don't know, an evil Grimm, a dark Grimm. Meanwhile, they unearth Adeline's mom, and Rosalie removes organs from the corpse, including tongues and ribs. They boil mom's body parts, and then what happens is Adeline basically takes the liquid, and she starts going into a fit, and the spirit of the Hexen Beast is released, then goes back into her, and she recovers, and she forces herself to vogue, but can't, so it suppresses the Hexen Beast. So, basically, Juliet calls him and will meet him at the spice shop. But when Nick gives her the cure or the suppressant, she smashes the bottle, and Nick holds her at gunpoint, and she forces him with the power of her mind to shoot Monroe, and the gun goes off. But it looks like Monroe is fine, so she apparently did not force him to kill Monroe based on coming attraction. But it's still to be continued. Okay, this brings us to Bitten, episode 204, Dead Meat. And it did pick up in the ratings from a 0.13 to a 0.18, close to a 0.2. Elena is branded by Alistair and put in a cell. And the witches communicate with Savannah, who's sharing an adjoining cell next to Elena. And she says, Savannah, that they took her again to do tests on her. And Dr. Cassandra Bauer wants to understand her better and says she can open the gate to the undoing, whatever that means, with her wolf's blood. And Alistair needs to get Elena's wolf's blood. So while this is going on, Jeremy has a dead follower of Alistair's. And according to Ruth, she will tell them where Alistair is. And so Ruth speaks for Melanie, the dead follower, tells them they all must die for the undoing. And then Paige releases Ruth from the trance that she's in. Meanwhile, Cassandra, the doctor, gives Elena meat, and she wants Elena to give one vial of her wolf's blood, but Elena says it's not going to happen. So she's taken back to her cell, and then Ruth and Paige disclose that Alistair is a witch, a male witch. And then Elena talks to Savannah, but Savannah says Ruth and Paige are trying to control her. Meanwhile, Logan gets to the compound where Alistair is, finds Rachel at Alistair's, and they get out. And then Elena is put in a combat situation with another werewolf, Richard. He changes. Elena confronts the wolf, and she surrenders to it, but then is able to get out when the wolf goes mad but is hypoed. Meanwhile, Logan and Rachel are caught, and Richard the wolf explodes as it crosses the boundary because I guess these brands cause them not to cross the boundary, the perimeter of the estate. And then Alistair threatens Rachel's life. Elena does change. And so she does, and Dr. Bowers gets her blood. And then Elena talks to Savannah again and tells her Ruth and Paige are her family, and she will protect her until the coven gets to Savannah. And they hold hands, their hands touch, because she's punched out a hole in the adjoining cell. And then Bowers inoculates herself with Elena's blood as she's having sex with Alistair. So this is all turning very weird. I'm bitten, but I do like it, so I will continue to watch it. And then we have Orphan Black, episode 303, formalized, complex, and costly. So let's play out Orphan Black theme song and then review it. Here we go. So Art is brought in on all of this, the Mayo cop, and he sees Sarah and Felix, and Seth, the dead caster clone, in Felix's tub. And Cosima talks to Art, too, and apparently they have a lead on where Mark is. And Mark tells Gracie, he never left the Army, that her dad, Johansson, stole scientific material and Mark was sent to recover it. And he's not clear of his people yet. And so the one who might have the material is Mr. Finch. And so basically Gracie meets Mr. Finch and gets a box that he's holding. And while this is going on, Cosima does remove Seth's brain and basically is doing an autopsy on the brain. And she finds out with the DNA markings that the boy clones are their brothers, Helena and her are his sisters, but Mark doesn't believe this. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. And so Finch then is visited by Art and Sarah and says, daughter Gracie swung by to pass on her dad's demise. But that was it. So Gracie brings the box to Mark. He breaks it open, but it doesn't contain the biological samples of the original Castor clone. So Mark is heading back to Finch's, and Grace kisses him goodbye. Meanwhile, Art, we finally find out that Art was in love with Beth, and he returns to his assignments, and Sarah sees Gracie at a diner, and Sarah wants to find Helena, and Sarah tells Gracie that Mark has clone brothers. And meanwhile, Mark is hammering Finch's hand and torturing him and kills him, and Gracie's mom retrieves Gracie, and Sarah returns to Finch's, and she finds Finch dead, and Sarah confronts Mark and tells Mark that Helena and her are her are his sisters, and Mark is ready to shoot her and says she's not his family. But then someone shoots Mark, and we find out it's Gracie's mom, and she shoots him dead at the end of the episode. A lot of action in this one. And I liked it because at least it focused on Mark, who's the saner of the boy clone, if you will. So I did like this part with Art, who was in love with anyway, we are done for our show today. So we'll be back next week. So we'll play our Space 1999 extended theme song, and we will be back. Until then, sleep tight.